Ooh, are you excited?
I'm very excited.
It's the end of the buggering year, Tom. It's time to give out the Tom and Matt Awards.
Yeah, just as every other podcast or video game related website is probably doing this time of year, we're giving out awards.
Yeah.
We're actually probably doing a little bit earlier than most. We most tend to wait till the new year, don't we?
I reckon so, yeah. I reckon we're preemptively doing this, maybe, because there's a game or two out that I could think, oh, maybe that could be my game of the year. But we'll find out what they are and more in a minute, Thomas. Yes.
This is the definitive list.
Yeah! I like the energy in our introduction.
That's how about that? You didn't say Tom and Matt Attack after that introduction bit.
Bollocks. I'll drop it in. I don't know. Tom and Matt Attack.
Ah, well done. So, yeah, this is the big one. This is the Tom and Matt Awards.
Oh, yeah.
We swapped out the attacks for awards. See what we did there?
Yeah, we did.
So what we're going to do on this show is we've got several genres. Genres is...
What games are, yeah, exactly. Use your English.
We have categories, and what we're looking at is the games released in the last year. Okay.
We are the year of 2013, a very good year, I would say, for video gaming.
Yeah, so a fantastic year.
The end of one console generation and the beginning of another.
And you want to know what sort of categories we've got for you this evening, or whenever you're listening to this? Because I always make this rookie error.
Well, then we're recording it in the evening.
And
yeah.
Assuming that everyone else is listening.
Don't let them
we're
know.
We're not live. Yeah, we're not live.
Or are we? Xbox on.
No. Best console game. Oh, how about that one?
I'm very glad that my Xbox didn't start up in the background.
We're going to look at best portable game as well. Best downloadable title.
Best indie.
Most innovative. Best visuals. Most underrated, Matt's
biggest disappointment,
biggest disappointment, and
best multiplayer, best soundtrack. We already have a
best multiplayer.
Yes. Oh God, Thomas hasn't done his homework. Then we have a split category to appease Thomas and to appease myself of best RPG / best fighter. Guess who will be answering those ones? And then to round it off, we have a category called Best Games We Should Have Played, as well as an honourable mention section.
And let's just make this apparent now. We don't have access to every video game that's been released this year. Yeah, we have played quite a few of them, Matt especially.
I've played an extensive amount of video games, and I'm still looking at the list going, oh shit, is this all I played? Which says a lot about how busy I've been this year, I guess.
Yeah. So there's some games which aren't going to feature in this podcast, which you probably say, why have you done that? Well, purely because we haven't played it.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, they're mostly AAA titles. There's no FIFA, there's no Madden, there's no NBA, there's no NHL, unfortunately. There's no driving games, actually, either. We haven't played...
Actually, there is one in mind.
Oh, really? Yeah. There's no Ridge Racer, no
why do you mention
Forza
Ridge Racer?
5.
There's not been one released.
Yeah, there has.
Is there?
Yeah.
On mobile?
No, it just came out. It was on PS Plus the other day.
New Ridge Racer?
Yeah.
What are you on about? Need for Speed, you mean?
Oh, yeah. The same bloody thing. Yeah, nothing else. Who cares? No shooting games. There's no Battlefield or Call of Duty.
There are some shooting games,
but you know what I mean? None of the big FPSs that everyone's currently playing. Actually, no Shadowfall either.
There's no Shadowfall and there's no Call of Duty Ghosts. And Matt, you're going to say there's also, we're not featuring...
Yeah, we're not featuring anything from PS4 or Xbox One.
No.
Purely because we've only played... Well, I've played one game that is exclusively for the PS4 other than the marketplace titles.
And you've decided not to include them.
And we've not played PlayStation... we've not played the Xbox One. So it seemed a bit unfair to say, like, yeah, Knack, not the best game of the year. when I could equally say, yeah, Rise is a pile of shit. But I haven't played it, so I don't know.
Well, we're here for a bit of a giggle.
I'm sure Rise would have won best QuickTime events. That's all I'm going to say.
Don't go writing into us with complaints
Why wasn't Dead Rising 3 included? Because we haven't got an Xbox One.
This is a bit of fun.
It is. It's a giggle.
Yeah. Okie dokie. So, shall we... I think we should probably save best console game for last, because probably that's the one that everyone's most interested in.
Oh, they shouldn't be. Not on this list.
Not really. But let's start off with our special sections. Why not do that? Just ease into it.
Well, my...
Matt always rabbits on about RPGs. No wonder his special category...
Oh boy.
Attack is best RPG of 2013.
I'm going to be honest with you, not a good year for RPGs in my book. December, I've seen the release of Bravely Default, which I haven't played, but a brief glimmer in a demo, so it shall not be included in the best RPG list. I could posthumously get this once 2013 is dead and gone. I could edit it and maybe say Bravely Default is the best, but I played it.
No, you can't do that. That's cheating.
No, it isn't.
We should say now, we've got three nominees for each category.
We have.
So what are your three? Let's have it, Matt.
I've put up Ni No Kuni for the PS3, the Studio Ghibli fantasy romp.
Or Ghibli, whoever you
Ghibli,
want to say
whichever
it.
Way you want to say it. Shin Megami Tensei 4, which admittedly isn't released in PAL territories yet. It's a US
entry, but this is the
long-running
the
Shin Megami
category.
Yeah, exactly. And then wrapping it up with Tales of Xillia. An honorable mention does go out to Persona 4 Golden. I can't give Persona 4 Golden best RPG of the year because it's a re-release.
Yeah. No,
as much as I want to, I think Persona 4 Golden is a fantastic, fantastic game. So I'm bound by duty of not giving a game that admittedly has been added upon and improved for the PlayStation Vita. I'm going to have to give it to Ni No Kuni.
Yes.
I will say... I've
Is that
not...
the only one you've completed?
No. I have played and completed a few other RPGs for various other systems. Admittedly older than 2013. Yes. But this is the only one that kept my interest long enough for me to play it. Like, you've seen me dip in and out of RPGs like nobody's business, Thomas.
It's a great one to watch as well.
It's a very beautiful, beautiful game. I'm sure it will pop up as a nominee in a few categories later on to tease you. Story, not amazing, but... by the same batard I always get hoisted on when I start complaining about JRPGs. Of course it's not going to be a new and innovative story. It's a JRPG. It does have some of the Ghibli charm to it, though, which is missing from a lot of other RPGs, and it did have enough side quests and cool functionality and kind of a Kingdom Hearts-style battle system that kept me wanting more.
Yeah, man.
So I think it's a good game. Honestly, if you haven't picked up Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch, I think you should.
Great.
My best RPG of 2013.
So, what genre of video games do I like the best? Fighting games.
Oh, I was going to say FPS.
No.
Shit.
So, what nominees do we have? Persona 4 Arena.
Ooh.
Remember that one, Matthew?
I do.
The one you bought an arcade stick for.
I do. I really like that game. We should play that more.
Injustice, Gods Among Us.
I still haven't played that.
This is the latest DC
Yeah, Game? And if you picked Studios? And put first what I think you're going to put first, I'm going to shout at you.
And the other one will be Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate.
Oh, fuck off!
Which is by far the best fighting game released this year.
Fuck off. Persona 4, best RPG. That's what you're saying. Yes, I like being resold the same game with an extra 4 characters and costumes.
Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate. Well, the other two didn't get my vote.
Oh, why not?
Are
not
they the only other two that's been released this year? I can't remember.
Probably an update of Street Fighter.
Probably. No, there's a one that came Christmas. Out in the States, Aquapazza 2D Fighter, that I'm interested in picking up. I haven't played that.
JoJo as well, which you haven't played.
In the Japanese only, Japan only.
At the moment, it's getting released in the US. I was actually going to buy that for you for Christmas. And I thought I'll wait until the European.
You bought me a lovely present.
I did.
We can say that.
Yeah, we can, of course.
Arcane Hearts 2.
Yay! PlayStation 2 JRPGs.
JRPGs?
Fighting games. Fighters. They're interchangeable, as we're just saying.
But let me say a little bit about Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate before you rudely interrupted.
On the Vita or PS3?
Not on the Vita, because that's Plus. That's a different game. Ultimate is the ultimate. It includes new characters, I think two at least.
Yep.
It includes a massively updated...
character roster? Levels?
It includes something that was massively updated. I think the multiplayer is better.
Busts?
Oh, I think the little improvements in it, like unlocking costumes, is great. Now you can just play through any mode to unlock a costume.
Yeah.
You don't have to... I had to go online to work out exactly how to unlock costumes.
Yeah.
What difficulty setting to do it on.
I wasn't going to comment.
And such.
I'm not you.
So that's a great improvement. Sorry, Matt, that I've kind of broken the system here by choosing this game. But honestly, it's the fighting game I've enjoyed the most this year. The one I keep coming back to. Starting to wane a little now, to be honest. I've played it so much.
You have played it an awful lot. But, you know, for you...
To unlock costumes, that keeps you going on Dead or Alive.
Exactly. And in all fairness, it's a solid fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy it. I think it's good.
And no more shall we say about that. Let's move on.
Yeah, what category do you want to take next?
Oh, go on, you pick one. I started.
I think we should leave best console and portable for the penultimate.
Let's go for best downloadable title.
I think so. What have you got, Tom?
Okay, so my nominees are Castle of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse. The
interesting.
Fantastic remake, which added a lot to an old Mega Drive classic. Runner 2.
Oh, the sequel to BitTrip Runner.
The sequel to BitTrip Runner. Fantastic, simple, addictive game. And Gianna Sisters, which was a massively different game to the original. But when you get a remake, it's nice to change it up a little bit.
It was. It looks like a very solid
beautiful
platformer.
Looking game as well. Fantastic platform game. Well worthy.
Actually, are all three of yours platform games?
Well, Runner's a...
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Endless Runner.
Yeah,
but
of
it's,
course.
It's a platform game in part.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. What, Tom? What is your best downloadable of 2013?
Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusion.
Oh!
Is... The best downloadable title of 2013.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I was wowed by this game, both on the visual and gameplay level. Yeah.
It is a beautiful looking game. I will
it
give
is
it
a
that.
Beautiful looking game.
From what I've seen, maybe want to play it, even though I haven't got around to it. So I
with
enough.
Some finely tuned platforming, a lot of work went into this game to make it the best it could possibly be, and I struggle to fault it. There are a couple of weird jumps in the game.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can pick at in this game.
Yeah.
Was a couple of... It was a little bit too niggly.
Does it use the superior graphics of the Sega Mega Drive to animate Mickey Mouse when you go near the edge of a cliff?
It does that.
Yeah!
Yeah. I played it on PS3.
Yeah.
What else does it do? It's to the point. You know, it doesn't go on forever, like a lot of games nowadays do. I was able to complete Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusion. Some may argue that it's too easy.
Okay.
I don't think it was easy. I think the challenge level was just right on this game.
Okay.
To make it completable and a good slice of downloadable gaming. Because maybe when you get a downloadable title, you just want something that will occupy you for a weekend. And that's what this game did. There's plenty to go back to and unlock in terms of costumes. It's a joy to play. It's a joy to look at. So that is why it's my best downloadable title.
Okay.
Because the amount of effort that went into that game.
It does look fantastic and it does look like a solid game. I've heard good things about it.
Mm.
Right, my best downloadables are the excellent Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, DuckTales, woo! And Phoenix Wright, Trials and Tribulations. Is that what it's called? I can't remember. Phoenix Wright 5. Yeah, I think it was. Shit.
There's
I can't remember the name of it. Phoenix Wright, you know what I mean. Surprisingly, not my game of the year. My game of the year for downloadable content is...
Title.
Title, sorry. Blood Dragon.
Oh.
It's quirky vibes. It's gorgeous, gorgeous... Tron-like visuals.
Its ability to mock
its ability to
the genre
take
and
the piss
video
out of
games
everything.
In general. Yeah.
It's a very meta game. It's very aware of itself and of genres as a whole. And it takes the Mickey out of hand-holding nonsense that goes on in video games these days. Like, bullets allow you to kill people is one of the things it says in one of the the loading screens.
There'd be nothing without the gameplay to back it up.
And it wouldn't, it's and got it's got solid gameplay. I mean, you know, they did a great job with the original Far Cry 3, which I really look forward to playing. I've downloaded it for PlayStation Plus when I get back home. And yeah, it seems like a great game. I like Blood Dragon. I really need to go back and finish it. I'm on the very, very last mission, and I still haven't completed it because I don't want to end.
Would you say it's got a good length to it?
I'd say it's got a very good length. It doesn't outstay its welcome, and it never gets old.
It seems to be a key thing in a downloadable title.
I think so. Well. To be honest,
it defines a downloadable title, I think. It's exclusive to download.
I don't know. Because, I mean, DuckTales is a game that has no issues with length. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But Phoenix Wright is a very long game, but it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, but it's because it's a full retail title elsewhere, I guess.
Mm.
Vis-a-vis. What's the next category, Tom?
Let's go for most innovative.
Most innovative.
What are your nominations?
I have three games on my most
innovative. Oh, surprise, surprise.
I have Media Molecules, Tearaway, I have Proteus, and I have Lone Survivor.
Ooh, explain Proteus and Lone Survivor.
Proteus
for those who haven't heard of them.
A game that I can only really describe as the most meditative game experience I've ever had. All you really do is to tell you what it is would kind of be giving it away. It's setting a first person style, and it's kind of got a similar vibe to Journey, where you're just kind of exploring a world and going through seasons and stuff. It's very cool, very relaxing, a very solid gameplay experience. It only lasts about an hour or so, but you can replay it and different things happen and stuff. And Lone Survivor is a pseudo-survival horror / psychological horror, which kind of, in places, is it's 2D, it's side-on, so it's like, kind of feels a lot like, you know, your average 2D platformer in its viewpoint, but it's a very 2D action platformer. And reminds me of kind of Eternal Darkness, the better points of that, where, like, you can go into a room sometimes and then you come out again and then you go back into a room and then there's zombies and shit. It really messes with you, and it advises you at the start of it. It's got a brilliant atmosphere to sit down and wear some headphones and play it in the dark on your own when you're not going to be disturbed, and it's a great, great game. However, my most innovative of 2013 goes to Media Molecules Tearaway for reasons I've already discussed on this podcast. It makes use of a Vita in a way that no other game does. It shows off all the hardware in its finest. It's a poignant storyline. It's great visually. There's a reason I bought two copies of it. There's a reason I want to buy more copies of it and give it away to people. Honestly, I cannot speak highly enough of that game.
And all Vita titles.
All Vita titles, actually, yeah.
For most innovative.
How about that? A lot about the console.
I know that both Proteus and what was the other one called? Lone Survivor.
Yes.
Kind of made you feel positive about gaming, the future of
they
video
did.
Gaming.
Proteus, admittedly, was first released on the PC, and Lone Survivor is now, because Sony seemed like nice chaps, have now given the game's creator an early out of his exclusivity contract, because they want to get the game out there to people who want to play it so they can support him as a developer, which seems really nice.
So I think innovation is very important at the moment, especially in video games.
I think so.
It's a very important category.
Keeping me going, yeah. What have you got, Tom?
Well, I actually struggled a little bit with this category, to be honest. I'll give you my nominations. Rayman Legends.
Okay.
Super Mario 3D World and Wii Party U.
Okay.
Wii U games.
I hope you've picked a certain one of those, because I'm going to shout at you otherwise.
I've picked Mario 3D World.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You picked a Mario game for innovation.
I did.
Really?
Yes.
That is the most controversial thing you will ever say on this podcast.
Then maybe I should back it up.
Okay.
Okay. So there's some things about Mario 3D World I really like, and this is through playing it through the gamepad.
Yeah.
I like the instant interaction with the gamepad in levels where you're blowing on the gamepad. Nothing new. We've done it on DS.
I was going to say, we've done it on DS for 10 years next.
And touching things on the screen as you're playing.
done that on my DS for 10 years.
It's great. Next. Things pop out and you do that.
The Toad
levels where you move the gamepad around. So this is three interactions that you don't usually have in gaming.
Except on your 3DS.
Except on your 3DS.
Or your Vita.
What I'm going to say is this is an innovation in console gaming.
I guess you could argue that.
I've not had a console gaming experience that contained those elements.
Game and Wario.
Game and Wario.
Yeah.
But not wrapped up in a such a high quality game as Super Mario 3D World. Okay, let me talk a little about the nominees, because I don't think Matt's very happy with it.
I'm very happy with Rayman, because I've heard wonderful, wonderful things.
Well, Rayman's great in innovating, because he gives one player the gamepad, and in real time, you're interacting with the other player who's playing on the TV screen.
I've never had a gameplay experience, multiplayer-wise, of playing cooperatively with someone like Rayman.
Which is so effortless. I think that's the strength of Rayman. It works just so well. It is so natural to play like that in two-player.
Yeah.
And that is where the game innovates. Never had experience like that before. So, yes, you could argue that...
it's a Mario game.
Okay.
And if it was Galaxy, I would be behind you, I think.
Wii Party U does as well is it's got some really nice ideas. For example... there are lots of things that I've never done in a game before. The controller twister thing was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Where you place the controller down and... the gamepad, sorry.
Yeah.
And players are asked to hold down buttons on the controller and stuff. Is that innovation? I don't know. It's a new way of playing.
There's a lot of games like that on the iPad.
Okay. Well, for me, that was a new one. Also, I enjoyed the water one. Where you were to put the gamepad on the floor and scoop up the water, take it to your TV.
Yeah, that's only quite fun.
And now I've not done that before.
Yeah.
Either in a video game. So I have to admit, as I said before, I was struggling in this category.
Yeah.
Despite wonderful innovations, like I've yet to play Tearaway.
Yeah.
So maybe that's got something to do with it. But it's a good time for innovation with these touchscreen games consoles, because they allow you to interact with games in a way maybe you have done before with the DS, but better.
Yeah, okay. More responsive. I can see what you're saying.
The PlayStation Vita is an amazing touchscreen.
Yeah.
It's got the back touchscreen as well. Well, the back touch plate.
Yeah.
And the Wii U is just... I think the major innovation is being able to play Wii U game with someone else using the TV.
It's a practical thing. It's great.
But it's really great.
Something I'm liking now on the Vita, that I can play my PS4 games on the Vita screen, which I did with Knack the other day.
I'll just throw in there that YouTube's great with the Wii U.
Yeah, definitely.
Not a game, but... shall we move on?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sorry about that. Controversial category, Matt.
Controversial. You did. You enraged me. Yeah. Should we go with best visuals?
Oh, it's next on the list, so why not?
I think so. What have you got?
You want to know what I've got?
Yeah, I want to know what
you've
got.
Well, you'll find that games are repeating themselves, as I haven't played as many games as you have this year.
But you've seen a lot of games I'm playing.
I've seen a lot of games you're playing, and one of them is a game you played. So Rayman Legends, again, first of all, beautiful game, improved on Origins with a new engine. The lighting really adds to this game.
It is an absolutely stunning game.
It's a beautiful game. It looks beautiful on the Vita, which is what I've been playing on it recently.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely game. Ni No Kuni.
Okay.
I sat and watched in awe and thought, wow, I've not seen anything for a while that looked this damn good.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
And finally, Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusion.
Okay.
I just think the visual aesthetic in that game is superb. And I was some of the effects in it, I was going, wow, I've not seen this before. This is outstanding.
Okay.
Most notably, bit of the game where you're swimming around in a coffee cup looked the depth in the visuals and the feeling it gave me was amazingly immersive.
Yeah.
For the kind of game, it wasn't the kind of game it was based on, which is a beautiful game.
But completely different.
The depth within this game is amazing. So when you pass behind objects like glass jars, and you see Mickey's warp-shaped form warp and things, and it's just a beautiful showcase for some really nice visuals. But in the end, I have to pick one of these, and I'm going to say Ni No Kuni, because that's the one wowed me the most.
Ni No Kuni is winning two awards. Yep. That's interesting.
It did, and that was the one, as beautiful as Rayman Legends is, and Cast of Illusion, both great examples of platformers, one 2D, one 3D, that really just pushed the visual level to the next level. Yeah. Ni No Kuni is bigger than that. And it's recreating 2D animation with 3D graphics and making it just look effortless.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful, beautiful game.
Because I mean, you saw me play the terrible Time in Eternity.
Yeah,
which also uses literally hand-drawn 2D animation to represent itself. But it's set like. Apart from a one walk cycle and one battle animation per character, there's not a lot going on, whereas Ni No Kuni actually encapsulates the feeling of an anime in way I've never really seen in the game.
Yeah, no one's done that like Ni No Kuni.
No, especially a character captured the spirit of a Ghibli / Ghibli, whatever you want to say, cartoon as well. I was going to put Ni No Kuni, but I was aware that I've nominated Ni No Kuni for very many things. Whereas it was up there for me, it's definitely one of the most beautiful games of the last console generation, certainly. My three nominees are Remember Me and the two games starring Ellen Page, or her likeness, arguably, which is The Last of Us and Beyond Two Souls. Now, I haven't played Beyond Two Souls other than the demo. I've only seen gameplay footage, and like I said, I've played those brief forays into the demo. But that is incredibly, incredibly good game to look at. Like, it really pushes the PlayStation 3, from what I can see, to its absolute limits. I mean, you got Willem Dafoe in it as well.
Is he? Oh, we're talking about Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking too much now.
No, not Last of Us. And that would be ironic if he was in Both of Us.
Both of us. I don't want William Dafoe anywhere near my insides.
But Beyond Two Souls is a brilliant looking game. Admittedly, like, you can argue what it does in terms of gameplay or its merits, much like people did with Heavy Rain. Of course, it's a game. You're playing it on a games console and pressing buttons. You're not shooting everything, but that doesn't matter. That's not the point. But it's just a stunning looking game. Last of Us is a fantastic, fantastic game. It will crop up in a few categories later on, for mine at least. And
most depressing game of the year.
Most depressing game of the year, admittedly, for me. If that was a category, it would have been it, hook, line, and sinker. But you can't get away from the fact it's a very, very good-looking game. It's very atmospheric because of the looks and stuff, and the environments and things are stunning. But for me, it has to go to Remember Me. Not the best game, I will fully admit. Like, it's a good game. The combo system and stuff in it is quite a nice idea. But I honestly can't remember much about the game's plot or story. All I can remember is its stunning visuals. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is so beautifully designed. There's amazing graphic design flowing throughout the game. The protagonists and even the enemies all look fantastically rendered. It's just a stunning game for all aspects of me. There's a lot being invested in the visual side of it for me, and that's why it wins my best visual of 2013.
Fantastic. Shall we move on to most underrated game of the year?
Yeah, we can do.
Have you got that?
Yeah.
Good. It was the next on my list. That's why I mentioned it. Do you want to go first this time?
I can do. Surprise, surprise. Ni No Kuni crops up again for me.
Was it underrated?
I believe it was received well for critics, and I believe all of my three games are, but I don't think it sold well. Actually, Ni No Kuni did. I guess I can't really. But you never hear.
It's all right, Matt. I play some crap, so mine's great.
For my money, I don't hear many people talk about Ni No Kuni. Like, for what it is and for what it achieves, I think, short of people who like RPGs or like anime, it never broke outside of that bracket.
Right, yeah. It should have done,
because it not only is it a beautiful game, but I honestly think it's an enjoyable RPG experience.
And maybe even I could play.
I think you could. I think you'd get a lot out of it. I think it's got such a nice story and such a heartwarming feeling to it that it just works.
Yeah.
My second, LEGO City Undercover. Brilliant game. We've talked about it on the podcast. But because of its Wii U
exclusivity,
I believe it was grossly overlooked, especially when you see the popularity of the LEGO Marvel game that was recently just released.
That's to say that from what I've played the LEGO Marvel game, LEGO City Undercover is better.
LEGO City Undercover trounces it for my...
Yeah, because it's something different.
It is. And
retaining those familiar LEGO tropes.
Is it so sad that I'm kind of becoming so tired of the formula for the LEGO games?
I'm exactly the same right now. LEGO City Undercover
as most innovative. Because it's got some nice functions to it. It's got, you know, like when you're looking through the gamepad and looking around the world and how you can actually build things and drive them and stuff. I think it's a really great game. And Rayman Legends. Because that is a game that was also meant to be released for the Wii U. And as such, was massively delayed.
Mm.
And then just kind of shoehorned out into the market.
Well, do you know how many good reviews that's received?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's no doubt in my mind that these games were received critically well, because they are all fantastic games. I wouldn't have put them as my most underrated otherwise.
Yeah, it's not selling as well as...
No, because I mean, Tearaway is another perfect example of a game that I think is absolutely amazing, and it's just not going to... It's not going to get the 4 million copies sold on launch day that a Call of Duty will, or... It's just a shame, for me. That's why my most underrated game is LEGO City Undercover. Because as long as it is on the Wii U, unless that console... even if that console sales increase, I don't think it will ever achieve the audience it deserved to achieve. And I think that's a crying shame for such a brilliant game. LEGO City Undercover, my most underrated game of 2013.
Okay. My nominees are Wii Party U, Aliens Colonial Marines.
Oh, bugger off.
And you've not played it. And Deadpool.
Okay, I'm very scared. Okay, I can see what you've picked.
Yeah,
I'm more relieved now.
So my game...
I thought if you picked one of those games, people were going to burn this podcast
to the ground. My category here are games that all received not great reviews.
I will admit that Deadpool.
Painfully average reviews, and in the case of Deadpool, some really scathing reviews, which I don't think were justified.
Yeah.
Because what Deadpool is it's a really enjoyable, well-made game that obviously the developers, Hi-Moon Studios, have put a lot of work into. And it's a lot of fun. Some argue it's repetitive. Well, maybe it is to a degree, but I've not found it that repetitive for what it is. I found it insanely enjoyable and... an over-the-top shooter, which honestly didn't deserve the backlash it got.
Okay.
And I think it's a game that's criminally overlooked, and I think people, if they gave it a shot, would definitely enjoy it.
I was very disappointed after I saw you play it and wanted to play it myself. It doesn't look like the best game. I don't think it's
better than
average. But it's definitely better than average.
And it's not below average.
No,
in any
and High Moon Studios did a fantastic job on it. And what did they get for it? They got disbanded.
Yeah, nothing. So this is my opportunity, right, to say it's the most underrated game of the year. And it, didn't deserve those reviews. Aliens Colonial Marines.
Have you played past the first level?
I've played the game for over an hour.
Have you played past the first section? Which is apparently
I don't know where the first section ends, to be honest.
Okay.
But what I have played of the game and what I've read in reviews about the game, I can't see at all, not one bit, why it got such bad reviews so far. Now, I can only comment on what I've played of the game, and I was struggling for games put in this category. so I had to put this one in.
Yeah.
Because what I played of the
game.
You sure
you don't want to put Dead or Alive 5 in most underrated?
I've enjoyed it.
Okay.
Can't see what's wrong. I'll come back next podcast and say, I know exactly what's wrong with this game.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I got such a bad review. But this got really bad reviews.
Okay.
Wii Party U received bad reviews. And actually, I was with them at the beginning.
You were?
As this could have gone on the most disappointing game of the year.
Yeah.
But no. Once got people round, once I played some more of the mini games, which are a lot of,
yeah,
this game is fun.
Okay.
Very fun. And it has some great new party games. And I'd like to play more of it before I can say it was on the same level as Wii Party. Which
are
really
any
good.
Of them as good as the gamer game in Game & Wario?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think so. So Wii Party U is still well worth picking up if you want a good multiplayer party game.
Okay.
But the winner is Deadpool.
Deadpool.
I bet you guessed that, how I hopped went on about it. Harped on about it for most of that section.
Okay. Yeah.
Go on. Your turn, Matthew. The floor is yours.
Guess after that, then, I think maybe we should go to biggest disappointment, perhaps.
Go on, let's go for biggest disappointment.
Whoa, I wonder what I'm going to pick for this one. my biggest disappointment of 2013, my categories are...
Your nominations?
Yes, my nominations. Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
Controversial, perhaps. I know a lot of people love this game. It got very good reviews. For me, it didn't do anything that the first one didn't for me. Like, I know there are some new nice features to it. It's just, it felt like I was playing the same game.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt too long for what it was. Like, I kind of liked the length of the first one because it didn't outstay its welcome. But this one just kind of kept going, hey, didn't you really enjoy this thing from Luigi's Mansion? Here it is again. And I'm like, great, okay, you could have introduced this a lot earlier and we could have got this gameplay experience mm-hmm. over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Most annoying reason, much like your problems you mentioned on last week's podcast with Trauma Center, come play it on a bus. Mm. There is an area where you need to use the game, the 3DS's gyroscope to balance yourself over a platform. Kept dying because I was on public transport. It's not a good... Not a good portable game. Why didn't you bother just releasing it on a home console if you're going to put these annoying feature things in it where I'm actually going to be sat stationary and not commuting? Metal Gear Rising, I don't need to say anything about that game and how much I hate it.
No, we know.
And then I put Time on Eternity. I wasn't really expecting too much. But what I got, I just
you got
pulled out its penis and slapped me in the face. It was a very terribly scripted RPG, which is full of all the terrible,
you didn't want,
full of arsehole characters who were all perverts, and it just seemed like fan service to a genre that kind of just gives any anime and any RPG flack for just being about big-breasted bimbos and. Like, I don't complain about sexism in games. I haven't got the justification. If I see something that's blatantly wrong, I will call it out, but I'm not going after that front as a personal vendetta. But, God, this game is just made for, like, your stereotypical 14-year-old boy who's a piece of garbage. I honestly, like, for what the cool feature of, like, exploring the world and running around as a 2D animated character, which has been done before, I've since found out, in various other games on the PlayStation 2.
Mm.
I just don't care. It was a terrible game.
A bad choice.
However, I only paid, I believe, £25 for this game, unlike the whopping £64 I paid for Metal Gear Rising, the biggest piece of shit I have played this year. Most disappointing game.
Why? Briefly.
Rubbish story, crap, frustrating gameplay, some broken mechanics, and I kind of realised as soon as I put it in, oh shit, why did I want to play as Raiden? He's the most boring Metal Gear character. And then to hear him blabber on about memes, and like, there are some redeeming factors, like it's ridiculousness, and it's very aware of how over the top and stupid the game is.
Gameplay frustrated you so much.
Gameplay frustrated me so much, I just wanted to break my Xbox. Completed it and traded it in within a day, so I never had to touch it again. Also, probably some of my disappointment is anchored to the fact that I was going to buy a PlayStation Vita, and then I convinced myself, no, I should buy Metal Gear Rising, and then bought it, and then hated it, and then just went out and bought a Vita.
Okay, let's move on before these memories.
The rage surfaces
some serious
again.
Damage.
Yeah.
Most disappointing games. Game & Wario?
Yeah, okay.
It's on my list.
That's fair enough.
I say that because I'm a big fan of the series. I think it's there's some good mini games on there, but on the whole, there's not enough good ones that I played to warrant its purchase.
Do you know what?
I know you haven't played it in a while either.
I felt no need. You know what? Actually, I'm going to retract my vote for biggest disappointment. Because I should have known with all judgment that Metal Gear Rising would have been a pile of bollocks. And I'm going to vote Game & Wario as my most disappointing game of 2013. The franchise, for the reasons you were about to explain.
The franchise is so high up on my beloved game franchises. And each entry has been very enjoyable. This one, to a lesser extent.
I think so. I think it takes away from what the Game & Wario was.
What made it WarioWare was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what made the WarioWare games so enjoyable was the fact they were just quick bursts of fun.
Yeah.
And there was much variety to them. But this is just mini games. It's just another showcase for, like, hey, you can use the gamepad in wacky ways.
And, it's the gameplay area where this game lacks. It doesn't lack in personality or ideas or quirkiness. It's got that in spades. And that's the best thing about the game.
Yeah.
I think. The kind of challenges it throws up at you.
Yeah.
But the gameplay is so limited, it just disappointed me.
And it's just mini games. But not even
the not in the best way of the WarioWare.
Yeah, but like, think about how many mini games are in Wii U Party.
There's not enough mini games in this game.
No, there's like 10. I think there's 14 altogether, but like four of them you have to play cooperatively with like three people or something. It's ridiculous.
And it's certainly not going to keep you as enthralled as still Wario, where Smooth Moves can do on the Wii for parties. That's a great one. Also, WarioWare, I've forgotten the name of the party one for the GameCube. I still come back to that.
The party one is just WarioWare, isn't it? WarioWare Inc.
Yeah, it's got a subtitle for the GameCube.
Is it? I can't remember.
I've forgotten what it's called, but that had some great multiplayer games and an awful lot. Well, they had all those classic ones that were on original WarioWare.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so that was a bit of a disappointment. Not the most disappointing, though.
No. For me, it is.
Anarchy Reigns disappointed me.
Another Platinum Games title.
Yeah. I tried playing. This game was made to be played online.
Yeah.
Multiplayer.
Yeah, which you did play a bit
of. Well, I did. You know, I actually haven't touched a single player. I thought it was going to be a multiplayer game, so I should go into it like that. Really frustrating multiplayer experience.
Really?
That I got nothing out of. Maybe I'm not well practiced enough, but also there's a lot of moves to kind of learn and get to grips with.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that the gameplay is that enjoyable.
Okay.
I found it frustrating and I haven't wanted to pick it up again.
Really?
Now, I could give it another chance. Yeah. Maybe I should give it another chance. But if we're talking about things that I was really excited about and got it and was disappointed with,
yeah,
then that would definitely be high up on the list.
Okay.
I expected a bit more. I expected to be a bit more user-friendly and I expected to be able to succeed online at least a little bit, but I was so trounced that it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay. And I should have felt like I had a better chance of doing something.
Yeah.
Because it got to the point where it wasn't fun.
Okay.
Okay. But my most disappointing game of 2013, I'm very sad to say it, was Sonic Lost World.
Oh, Thomas.
I know. I have given it a chance. And I have to say, on my last play of it, it was getting better. But that doesn't change how disappointing I was initially to be so fired up about this game, being a fan of Sonic games, that this one just messed it up for me.
Yeah.
It was awkward to play from the beginning because there are things that were changed around, which I don't think have improved the gameplay enough. The holding down the button to run thing just seems at odds with Sonic.
Yeah.
In general. The level design didn't help matters at all and felt clumsy. I couldn't get over the fact it was trying to do the Mario aesthetic and failing.
Okay.
For the most part, some parts it's rather good.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Not overall.
Not overall. I've played a bit of the game now and I will go back to it and I will finish it.
Okay.
One day.
One day.
And I hope there's more good things to come of it, but it's so inconsistent. And after Sonic Generations, which I enjoyed from start to the last boss.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same thing.
It was a disappointment because I thought, hey, this is good. There's a bright future for Sonic games now.
Yeah.
But no,
do you think that may be something to do with the fact that they're trying to throw out a Sonic title every year?
But it seems like they really tried with this game.
Yeah.
the visual aesthetic is very nice. It fits right in with the Wii U family of games. The bright, colourful. It looks like the Sonic equivalent of Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
It's so well done in that respect, but the gameplay...
just falls short of the mark.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's a shame. Yeah. Shall we take a category? I believe that me and you are both in agreement over.
Oh, well, if
go yes. to best multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Say this 1, 2, 3, Towerfall.
Yay! There
we are. We have no nominees.
Also, best reason to buy an Ouya or best reason to buy a PS4 in January.
You can talk a little bit about Towerfall.
What can I say that I already haven't said? Towerfall is a fantastic game. It's got the right balance of competitive play. It requires some skill. It's nice visually. You can play as both men and women, and there's strong female roles in it. Actually, I prefer playing as the female characters rather than the men characters, because the females are actually more interestingly designed. It offers a lot of challenge, the fact that you can run at a person who's firing an arrow at you and snatch the arrow out of the air and then fling it back at them is something of beauty,
depth.
I think.
The gameplay's got depth. It's simple, but it's got a lot of depth.
And it also has the addictive quality that I really want to play it again. I've been if it was not on my Ouya, as soon as it get released on the PS4 in January, I will not stop playing it, I don't think. It's one of the reasons I bought a second PS4 controller, is because I really want to play it more. Yeah. It's just a brilliant, brilliant game. I can't wait for it to get exposed to a larger audience, because it is a fantastic game that I'm actually going to take my Ouya home at Christmas and play with my brother, I think, because it's great.
Yeah. And do you have any other nominations for that category?
I don't think so.
Because I came up with a couple on the fly then. Just thinking of recent
Rayman
experiences.
Legends. Yeah,
Rayman
okay.
Legends,
Rayman Legends is also a good co-op experience.
And also, the amount of laughs we had playing Mario 3D World in 4-player, I thought was worth a mention.
Yeah, definitely.
chaotic is a good word.
Oh, God, I didn't enjoy it, I'll
be
honest.
But cooperating to ride that Loch Ness Monster sea creature.
That
thing,
was very
that
fun.
That was a fantastic multiplayer experience.
It
and
was.
What everyone should try.
I believe there'll be others, right? Other moments like that
further
on in the game.
I hope so.
But yeah, for me, Towerfall just encapsulated everything I wanted in a multiplayer game. It has it's kind of like GoldenEye and Time Splitters, that level of like frantic fun merged into it.
Yeah, it certainly is, yeah.
Yeah, great game. Mm-hmm. One we agree on.
Yep, there's one.
Yeah.
Best indie.
Oh, I'm going to slap you, because I've glanced cheekily over your page for Best Indie, and I disagree with you.
I went for the game I enjoyed most.
You did enjoy the most, but for me, for Best Indie, my nominations are Thomas's Alone, Vlambeer's Ridiculous Fishing, I believe the only app nominated in our entire selection of Best Games of the Year.
Yeah.
And... Then Rimmed Capsule, which is I think is another great game for the PlayStation
Mobile.
Say it
again.
Rimmed Capsule. Honestly, I love it. I really, really can't wait to go home so I can get a Vita memory card and put my British thing on it, so I can actually play that game on my Vita on the go, because it's a fantastic game. All of these are games, with the exception of one that I played on the go, I guess, or, you know, have had the chance to play on a mobile platform. Thomas's Alone, you can play on mobile, but I played it on the PlayStation. No, I didn't. I did play it on the Vita. My God, that was it's such an engrossing experience. I thought I played it on a home console. Ridiculous Fishing, of course, an app by Vlambeer. If you haven't played it already, you should really go out and get it. It's a fishing game. But I can't even remember. I may be talking out of school here. I think this may have been an earlier release.
Yeah, this came out in 2013, Matt.
Oh, I'm not sure. I can't.
Well, we'll let it fly for this one.
Fortunately, I'm not picking it anyway, but you should really go check out Ridiculous Fishing. Plan B is probably one of my favourite indie developers. Super Crate Box as well is also available on PlayStation Mobile, which I urge you, Thomas, you should buy.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, Rimmed Capsule is a game I talked about on the podcast, kind of. Or did I even talk about it on the podcast?
I don't know if you did.
I don't think I did. Essentially, it's a game that's currently available for free for the PlayStation Mobile. And it's kind of a mix between a survival game and real-time strategy. In you are making a space station and you need to survive for a certain amount of turns or research these monoliths on the map. Mm-hmm. And you only have a set amount of resources, so you need to build out in space to get all these resources and stuff. But it's a great game, honestly. You need to look it up and give it a play. It's getting released on the PC, I believe, next year, so it'll be opened up to a larger audience again. But best indie for me, Thomas is Alone. Fantastic story, simplistic game. It shows that a game can be just simply blocks jumping up and down and you give a shit about them.
Yeah.
Which is something hard pressed. And I know why you picked what you picked, because you've had the most fun with it and it's a game that's kept you occupied. Mm. But for me, Thomas is Alone is a fantastic achievement in gaming.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, Thomas is Alone for me.
Yeah.
Best indie. Title, sorry.
I also nominated Thomas Was Alone.
You did? I hoped you'd picked it. I hoped there would be another one. Actually, Proteus is also an honorable.
Then we could have done that joke, couldn't we? If I'd have gone first and had said Thomas was alone, then you'd be able to say Thomas wasn't alone in that choice. Because I picked it too. But no.
Yeah, we've buggered that up, yeah.
Matt's already sang its praises. I don't need to say anything more about Thomas Was Alone. Retro City Rampage is also very enjoyable.
Yes.
But my top pick is Hotline Miami.
Yeah, I understand why you've picked it. It is a very fun game.
I've not played a game that addicted me to it so much in a long time.
Yeah.
I could just sit and play that game until I do a level. No matter how many times I have to repeat it, it gives me such a rush as well. You know, yeah. It's a bit scary at times, you know, because the nature of the game.
Yeah.
But it does what it does very well. I'm trying to think why it's so successful. Because it's quite simple, really. You storm into a building, you kill all the guys and move on to the next.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's something about the idea of being like a hitman and bursting into a room and being able to take down everyone really quickly.
Yeah.
And that gives you an immense degree of satisfaction. And that's, you know, that's due to the weapons you use and how you take the guys down. And the strategies that you can employ in the game are also give it a lot of depth.
Yeah.
The visual style of it is great. The power-ups, the masks add a lot to the game and change how you play the levels. And
yeah.
Gives you different advantages. Overall, it's just a highly, highly enjoyable and very addicting game. And it's a very pure gameplay experience and one that works well on the home console and also portable as well, because it's a simple one.
Yeah.
But for me, it's my favourite indie game of the year.
It's fair enough. Yeah. Maybe I'm a bit harsh on your being enraged by that choice, because it does look like a very solid game and I've heard numerous people sing its praises.
Extremely satisfying.
Yeah. Okay. People will notice after me singing its praises and playing nothing but it pretty much for the last week that I didn't include Spelunky. It's the same reason I didn't include Persona 4. It's because it's technically a re-release of a game that was already out in 2009. Best soundtrack?
Yeah, go for it.
I did, however, nominate Spelunky for this because I believe the soundtrack is updated from its 2009 PC release. Persona 4 Golden, again, these are two games that are already being released. And that made my choice easy. My choice for best soundtrack is Blood Dragon, again. Second win.
Glad you said Blood Dragon.
It's a damned good game full of 80s vibes. I went into a shop here in Denmark where we live and they had the PC title. And it said it came with the soundtrack. And I nearly paid the 80 krona for the game because I thought I'd get a physical copy of the soundtrack. It turned out it was a download, so I just bought it off of iTunes instead for the £8 because I didn't need a PC copy of the game. Yeah, it's a damn good soundtrack. Full of it. He's kind of reminds me of the Tron soundtrack. Got a very daft, punky Tron Legacy feel in places. I just think it's a great soundtrack.
This is a real popular thing I've discovered through my girlfriend Claire, actually. There's a lot of this kind of retro revival synthesizer stuff.
There is.
But it's that kind of music you'd see in like a B-movie action film of the 80s.
Yeah.
It's that kind of synthesizer
which
music,
I which love.
Which has an epicness about it and a cheesiness about it and another worldly, futuristic feel.
Yeah. I'm sure there is something else as well that I've played recently, and hopefully it'll come back to me before the end of the podcast, or if not, in next week's podcast, where I'll give it a mention. But from what I can remember, Blood Dragon soundtrack has just been the cream of the crop this time around.
And I'm like Blood Dragon as well.
Oh, really?
For the reasons you've stated. I've also nominated Hotline Miami.
Okay.
For also similar reasons to Blood Dragon, actually. It's got a similar soundtrack.
Oh, it has. It's
not as
full on
epic and cheesy as Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
There's a certain... The soundtrack is very important to the gameplay as well.
Yeah.
It's that constant kind of heartbeat. It's a little repetitive, the music in-game.
Yeah.
But it has to be like that to keep you
That's what Spelunky's like. But Spelunky reminds me more of like old school games. Mm. It's kind of got... Yeah, like it's got that hook, isn't it, that keeps you playing.
Yeah, it just keeps you pumped and keeps you going. But it's not just the in-game music. In fact, the title screen music is something which I could just stick on the background and listen to all day.
Really, have you done that?
That particular... No. But that piece of music is wonderful.
Yeah.
Really is. And my third nomination is Pokemon. If you put your headphones in...
It's a very beautiful game
and
to listen to
it.
Yeah.
You can't believe the depth in the sound and the orchestral soundtrack for Pokemon is obviously the best the series has ever seen, but it's like it's really, really well done.
Ni No Kuni also had a very good soundtrack from what I remember as well, very grand, but it's what you expect of a JRPG, so I didn't nominate it.
But for the one I enjoyed the most, Hotline Miami.
Yeah, two nominations. I assumed you'd pick that one when you didn't say Blood Dragon for me as well.
Yeah, it
makes sense.
It's the one I enjoyed the most.
We're probably just going to get flamed so much for these choices, I think.
Really?
I honestly, like, there's something I've played recently that had an absolutely amazing soundtrack, and I can't think what it is, but it can't be that good because Blood Dragon was the one that stuck out for me.
I think other honourable mentions, I say, from what I play Super Mario 3D World, that's got a very nice soundtrack as well.
Oh, I really can't remember. I played something recently, I thought, damn, that's a good soundtrack, and I can't think what it is. Never mind. GTA 5 as well, I guess, could arguably...
Yes, but I don't count GTA.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's not all original.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's a great soundtrack.
I'd imagine there will be a good soundtrack on Bravely Default and Zelda as well, which brings me nicely into my best games we should have played category. Mine are...
Oh, you're just doing that one now?
Yeah, I'm jumping straight into it off the bat, Tom.
Oh my God.
We can do our honourable mentions at the end. Best games we should have played, I believe, Zelda, Bravely Default, and I'm going to throw in two extra ones that are PC only at the moment. One of those is Rogue Legacy, which is a roguelike Metroidvania-style game in which you are playing the heirs of a family in a... You go around a big castle exploring it and clearing out all the monsters until you eventually one of your children succeeds in killing everything. But every time you go back into it, short of boss fights, I believe the castle reshifts and you lose all your armor and your power-ups and stuff. I've heard it's absolutely fantastic. The other one...
No,
Tom?
No, it's all right.
What? Go for it.
No, it's non-related. You carry on.
And my other one is Kentucky Route Zero. Kentucky Route Zero. It's an episodic indie game that has been released for the PC, much in the similar vein to the Telltale games, in that it's an episodic, almost point-and-click adventure, from what I understand. I haven't played it, so I can't comment. I'm going to play it over Christmas, because I'll finally have access to a PC for the festive season. I also believe it's available on Mac, actually. I haven't really delved into it. I know Rogue Legacy's just become available for Mac, so I'm going to hopefully play a bit of that this week. But I've heard the storytelling is on a level that's not really in games, and it's got a level of depth and a level of randomness to it that's just breathtaking. With a very nice visual aesthetic as well, very pixely looking, almost a bit of vector. Kind of reminds me of, from what I've seen of a gameplay video of Another World.
Yeah.
For the Super Nintendo and Mega Drive / PC respectively.
Okay.
But my best game I should have played, I think, is probably Legend of Zelda, just because everyone's raving about it. And it's a Zelda game that harkens back to A Link to the Past, which is, other than Wind Waker, my favourite entry in the series. So, yeah, I should have played that, maybe. I guess that's it for me.
Okay,
I won't say any other options.
I'm going to say, I'm just going to list a few games I would like to play that I haven't got around to yet.
Yeah, sure.
Zombie U, I keep hearing, is really good.
It's pretty good.
I'd like to experience it.
Yeah, from what I've played, I really liked it. It's
a unique experience.
I would also like to play more of Zombie U.
Yeah, Zombie U. Also, Sound Shapes was a game, that a platform puzzler that I downloaded, which I really enjoyed playing for the demo.
Yeah.
I liked it so much I bought the game.
It's on the PS4 as well. Something I really...
I've got it on both, the Vita and the PS4, yeah.
I also would like to play Steambot Dig, which we also talked about on last week's podcast.
Yes, download.
Yeah, which I need to get on.
Now, you have to kind of excuse me if I can't remember the name of this, but it's Ibanoob.
Yeah, Ibanoob. Yeah,
what's it called?
It's on Xbox Live, right?
It's on PlayStation Network.
It's on PlayStation Network as
well.
Which
is a game which you'd play two-player.
Yeah, that's the one that's on. Yeah. Is it on PS3? I've on only PS3. Played it through you. I thought it was
it's
on
a platform
Xbox
game
as well.
You play in two-player.
Yeah. Okay. Brothers, really cool. as well, is yeah. another notable mention that's played with... two analog sticks. What else you got?
I need to play more Rayman Legends.
I need to play more Rayman Legends.
I need
too.
To play more Super Mario 3D
I
World.
I also need to play more
I
Super
can make
Mario
it,
3D World.
I to make a proper judgment.
Yeah.
The one game I need to play more than any of these is Killer is Dead.
Yeah.
Which I started playing and never came back to.
Oh, Tom.
And I want to know why, because I was liking a lot about this game.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's an easy pick-up-and-play game.
Yeah.
You have to have the right atmosphere to play the game.
You've
got
to really get into it, yeah.
I think you have to be on your own, and maybe you just need to totally zone into that thing.
Yeah.
Because while I did play it, I was in there and I'm enjoying it a lot. The combat's very, very smooth and very well done. The overall atmosphere, as I say, is... typical Suda 51 stuff. And visually, it's rather nice as well.
I would also like to play some of the new Arkham game.
Oh, yeah.
That
I
haven't picked up.
I wouldn't mind having a go on that. I still need to finish Arkham City.
Yeah.
So, out of them, it's Killer is Dead.
Yeah.
Sorry, pardon
Fair
me.
Fair enough. All right, then, that brings us to the cream of the crop.
Oh, yeah, we're on
the top
now.
Of the shop.
Okay. Whoa, it's been a marathon podcast.
It has, and there's still more to come. Ooh, and that is the best portable title.
Ooh.
Would you like to start, Thomas?
We're both big portable gamers now.
We are big portable gamers.
We're supporters of both the 3DS and the Vita.
Yes.
Great consoles, respectively.
Both of them are brilliant.
My nominations are...
I'm going to strike mine. I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with my gut feeling on it.
I'm going to repeat things I've already mentioned.
Yeah.
Hotline Miami, Thomas is Alone. Games I
Oh, really? You put Thomas is Alone as your best portable title? That's very interesting.
No, it's not. It's not my best.
Oh, okay.
It's nominated.
Sorry. It was nominated. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That
alongside Hotline Miami.
You flagged two, or essentially indie titles, as your best portables. That's very interesting.
I like simple pick-and-play games.
Yeah.
When I'm on the go, other than Pokemon. But I'm going to say the biggest strength for me on Pokemon, which is the winner of best portable
Woo!
Game for me, Pokemon X and Y, whichever one you picked.
Yeah.
It's because there's no pressure. The game is a game you can take at your own pace, and it fits any mood. You can do whatever you want. You can wander around, you can battle, you can look at your Pokemon if you want to, you can teach them moves, you can play it how you want to play it. And for me, that's a major thing about a good portable game. Also, it's something that you play with friends. And this time around, Pokemon's been a fantastic experience because a lot of the people we know have been playing at the same time.
Yeah.
And that really gets you going to make the best team you can so you can beat them in battles. It's also a game you can play anywhere. And of course, being a portable title. But that really helps the playing with friends. Play it on the bus, wherever you are. If someone else has got the 3DS on, you can play it
You can.
Whenever. You don't have to arrange a time to all come round a place and do it.
Yeah.
But also, that's quite fun as well, if you get a bunch of people together, as we experienced, and play Pokemon in the same room.
It's good times.
It's a lot of fun. It is the best Pokemon game since Gold and Silver.
Yeah, definitely agree there.
And this is helped by the fact it's incredibly user-friendly.
It is.
And any annoyances, well, nearly every annoyance of Pokemon has been ironed out. Some may argue that this has made the game too easy.
Perhaps this is
the case.
Yeah.
Although, it's no less enjoyable for that. You still get the same satisfaction. Well, nearly. I think maybe if I'd have struggled a bit more, I would have more of a sense of achievement when beating the Elite Four.
Perhaps. But I had a sense of achievement beating the Elite Four because my team was unbalanced and they were a bit of a struggle for me.
But I really enjoyed the experience of Pokemon X and Y. Therefore, it's my best portable game of the year.
No, I nominated Pokemon X and Y, and I will be honest with you listeners at home, I circled Pokemon X and Y as my portable game of the year. However, I'm going to go with my heart on this. Because
yeah, you think you should.
While I really like Pokemon X and Y, for me, once I was done with my adventure, I didn't play it again.
Yeah.
I didn't feel the need to go back to it. I didn't need to invest any more time in it once I got through the story and once I'd done this and that. I don't think there's anything at the end of the game that really enticed me to play it again. And there could be more. Like, there's a lot of things unanswered. There's a lot of Pokemon missing from the Pokedex. So maybe areas will be unlocked as time goes by. I think
the game's life will be rejuvenated at some point.
For me at the moment, it's just a title that's just sitting on my shelf again now that I've completed it. My other nominations are Persona 4 Golden, which is a fantastic, fantastic game. Possibly, if it hadn't been a re-release, it would have been my best RPG of the year. Solid game, beautiful soundtrack. It's visually stunning, and the story is fantastic. Atlas have one arm around the RPG, the tired old genre, and they're helping the JRPG cross the road, and they're keeping it irrelevant.
Why did the JRPG cross the road?
Because Atlas are just keeping it alive for me. Like, Shin Megami was one of my nominations. and Persona 4 Golden is a fantastic game. There's a reason why there was a whole media event for the announcement of Persona 5, is because it's that good a franchise. But I have to go with my heart. Tearaway, my portable game.
I think that should be your portable game of the year myself.
You've
loved that game.
I've not played a game like it. Honestly, no. I implore you to go out and buy Tearaway. I can't say any more about it. I've talked about it for pretty much a whole podcast. I just think it's a beautiful game. And honestly, I'm going to lend it to Thomas over Christmas, so hopefully enough for his podcast back after the new year. He will also see the glory of Tearaway, because I think it's brilliant. Yeah, Tearaway, my portable game of the year, 2013.
And that brings us to the best console game of the year category. Okay, so this is the one everyone cares about, don't they? This is the big boy consoles, the Xbox 360, the PS3, and the Wii U.
Yes.
Okay, so, nominees, Matthew.
Well, let's be clear, the Wii U is of the next console generation before anyone starts. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's been out a year.
Yeah, but I'm just making my feelings on it clear. My nominations for best console game of the year are as follows. And there is a disclaimer to be said at the end of this, I believe.
Really?
For me.
Sounds interesting.
BioShock Infinite. The Last of Us. And Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Now, I've completed two of these three titles. I've played about 3 hours of one of them. If I had played more of Assassin's Creed Black Flag, perhaps it would have been my game of the year. I think it is a solid game because they've taken out most of the nonsense that made 3 perhaps a bit of a clunker for some people. It feels a lot nicer to play, and it's more focused on fun because you as a character are playing as someone who's making a video game, essentially. So it's got all fun aspects of it, from someone that's cared about the Assassin's Creed franchise since, well, originally day one and then dropped off until I played 2, which restored my faith in it and has made me buy every Assassin's Creed game since. While the gameplay is still very similar and they've just tightened it up for this game, and there's a lot of cool things story-wise for lore that made me go, oh my god, in the way Assassin's Creed games always do. It could be my game of the year. The Last of Us is a very good game. It's got a very good story. But for me, it's a little too bleak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never want to play The Last of Us again. Like, it's a very good game, a very engaging story, but, like, something about the gameplay and the way it handled, combined with the bleakness of the story, and it was commenting very much on the Uncharted series and how Nathan Drake is a smiley serial killer, and there are some twists and plot points in it that make you question your nature as a gamer, which is something I think the best...
Did you say Nathan Drake?
Yeah, Nathan Drake of Uncharted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It makes you question your actions as a gamer and why you were doing the things you were doing and how fucked up these worlds that are presented to us in a game in a way that only one other game this generation has that's commented on it. Like, Blood Dragon obviously made some points about it, but I think for me, BioShock Infinite is a game that not only commented on games as a whole, but also was kind of pushing what games are capable of. At some points, it felt that the storytelling and the narrative was kind of hindered by the gameplay. And for this, for me, there is no perfect game of the year this year. I'll go out on a limb and say
console game,
at least. But I believe because of its story and just it improved on some things from BioShock as well as taking away from some of them in Italy. But I think for my console game of the year for 2013 is BioShock Infinite. On the grounds, I think it's a solid game and one that I actually am kind of looking forward to playing the DLC for, which has just been released. Yeah, kind of underwhelming though, because I honestly think if I played more in Black Flag, I would have liked Black Flag. But for me to say something is my game of the year, Tearaway is something I really feel passionate about, and honestly, I think it is my game of the year. Overall, it is my game of the year.
Yeah.
But for console games, I think BioShock Infinite does some fantastic things, and the story is fantastic, and yeah, it's good.
Okay. Fantastic. I'll move on to mine now. I'll start off by saying I actually haven't played many console releases.
I don't think you have, no.
That have been boxed and sold to me as console releases. So I'm going to have to say, nominate Super Mario 3D World. Even though I haven't played it enough for it to win this.
But category, there's the potential there.
I know it has the potential.
I know it's got the potential there as well, I will say that.
I'm judging it on a game that I feel like I can come back to any time.
Yeah.
And I'm always excited about playing it.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to feel that way about Rayman Legends, actually, as well.
Yeah,
I agree. It hasn't poked its nose in my top three yet.
I think it should have.
Yeah. I came to that later than...
Yeah,
Mario 3D World. My next one is probably...
This is why I think Rayman Legends should be in there.
Is the second most played Sonic Racing Transformed.
Okay.
Now, I'm a huge fan of the original Sonic Racing. I think Zoom Digital did a great job, and it's a worthy competitor for Mario Kart. Sonic Racing Transformed upped the ante somewhat.
It did seem like a very fun game.
And playing it, I played the original Sonic Racing on the Wii.
Yeah.
So coming to the Xbox version Sonic Racing Transformed, I was immediately wowed by the visuals. And like Sonic Racing All-Stars, whatever it was called, it's got the longest game down in history.
Yeah.
This game is incredibly addicting and enjoyable, both as single-player experience and multiplayer co-op and competitively. It's beautiful. The track design is great as ever. And for the most... I'm trying to think the most enjoyment I got out of a console game this year. One that's I've played so much. And they don't always have to be an epic adventure or a game that's breaking the boundaries or innovating.
No.
As long as the game keeps your attention and you enjoy it and you get a certain amount of fun and satisfaction out of it. Yeah. For me, that is a game that's worthy of being in the top three released this year.
Okay, that's fair enough.
It's definitely my kind of game.
It's your opinion, man. Like, I know why I go ha 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 ha, but you know, it's what matters.
I haven't played a lot of the big AAA titles like you mentioned in yours, and they're not always games that appeal to me.
But you have played the biggest.
I've played the biggest, and this is it. This is my console game of the year. And one that I can't believe I'm saying now because I never thought it would be.
I know, especially if you listen to some earlier podcasts.
GTA 5 is a masterpiece.
Coming from, I felt like I should buy it because we got a gaming podcast, but I just don't want to spend that much money on a game.
I mean, you've probably, if you're into video games, and you probably are listening to this podcast, you've heard enough about GTA 5. But it's... grabbed me in a way that 4 never did.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even watching it, I wanted to play it. And if I can see it cheap on Christmas, I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah, it just grabs you. And it's held by a great, great characters and story as well that keep you playing once the next bit. But that would be nothing without, as we always say, without the gameplay to back it up. And everything is so refined in this game. And the possibilities are just so open, as you'd expect from a Grand Theft Auto game. But it's the little things that this game does that I haven't seen in other Grand Theft Auto games, like the ability to create your own heist and to play it the way you want to play it, you know, and decide on which people you're going to hire for the job.
Yeah.
And how you're going to go in there and do it. And the adrenaline rush I felt from the first jewelry heist in the game is... oh, like nothing ever.
Yeah.
I get so into it and so involved with GTA 5, like no other game I played this year.
Okay. You felt you were robbing that bank.
Yeah, I really did. And I'm actually scared that two of the games I've enjoyed the most this year are Hotline Miami and GTA 5.
Please don't go postal.
But in a way, that's good that, you know, you can do these things in a safe way. Not that I'd ever want to do it for real. But yeah, there's a certain playful joy to GTA 5. And you're doing naughty things, but
it doesn't make you want to go and do it in real life.
No, and yeah, that's this age-old argument. I don't think games make you feel that way at all. And if anything, it's quite the opposite.
Agreed.
It's silly, it's well-written, it's got great gameplay. The cars handle fantastically in this one, better than the last, I think. It's just got the right balance there. That's obviously a big part of the gameplay. It's a game you can just turn on and wow friends with as well.
Yeah.
It is a milestone in gaming and the result of, I think, the last console generation has created this thing. Yeah, I GTA 5 for me is the console game of the year.
Cool. We also have one last award to give out, and that's the What the Fuck Just Go Play It award, which is to the wonderful Monked Your Friends.
Please do.
On Xbox Live Arcade for a whole, 80 Microsoft points back in the day, so it must be a quid, right?
Yeah. And we're not alone in this, as our friends of ours have discovered the game themselves.
On their own accord, and they're just what the hell?
Yeah. Mount Your Friends is a game where you use a very unique control method to create the biggest tower of half-naked men you could imagine.
Yes, it's beautiful. And half-naked cats. Don't forget, cat faces and stuff as well. It's kind of screwed up. Just go play it.
Yeah,
understand.
I don't need to say anything more than that.
No, and we're going to end this podcast with kind of a new feature that I've stolen from a podcast called Jordan Jesse Go. In which we will talk about what we want to see more of and less of in the year 2014.
So as we go into a new gaming year, there are many things that we liked, and here's what we hope will, we affectionately call it, game on in 2014.
Game on, indie developers. Seriously, most of the best games I've played, most of the games you've heard me talk about on this list have been developed by indies. We're talking Vlambeer. We're talking these great games that just come out of nowhere and surprise you, hit you over the head with a grasp of cool gameplay mechanics and just fantastic fun. Game on, indie games.
Yep.
The Wii U. Who Whoa! Who'd have thought that all the naysayers and doom and gloom that surrounded that console that now has a solid gameplay library that can't be disputed? You have games like Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, Rayman Legends, Mario 3D World, just to name a few off the top of my head. It's a great console. I believe if you can pick one up cheap and you believe in Nintendo, you should support the console wholeheartedly. Game on, Wii U.
So is it backwards compatible?
It is. PlayStation Plus, Thomas.
Oh, give me
game
more free games.
Game on, PlayStation Plus. Instant games collection.
Give me
discounts
loads of games for just 40 quid a year.
Games that are just coming out. And 12th is a Christmas thing that's on the moment. It's fantastic. The fact that they are rewarding you for being a part of this service as well as giving you multiplayer now is just a fantastic thing. Thank you, Sony.
Well,
game on,
money.
PlayStation Plus. Bringing us back to Sony and Microsoft, and maybe not the Wii U, maybe one of its down points. Region-free gaming. The fact that I can now wholeheartedly import a game from Japan that I want to play, this is obscure as hell. Game like JoJo's Adventure.
There's no need to own three PS2s anymore.
I don't need two fucking 3DSs sitting on my coffee table because everything on the Xbox and PlayStation is now region free. Game on, region free gaming. Game on ergonomic designs. A lovely, nice feature of the PlayStation 4 is its wonderful controller. I've heard wonderful things about the Xbox One's pad as well. Brilliant. They're not too heavy, they're not too robust in the hand, they're not completely cocking up your wrists when you're playing. Arguably like a certain handheld that made me wear a plaster for about 6 weeks. Game on ergonomic design. Game on innovation as well. We need more innovation. As I've talked about, games like Tearaway that really push the boundaries of what gameplay is. Games like Proteus that make you question your role as a gamer. Even things like The Last of Us and Bioshock, while not mechanically the most innovative games, games that make you think about what you're doing as a gamer. Game on innovation. New IPs. I've mentioned Rogue Legacy, I've mentioned Tearaway, I've mentioned Bravely Default. These are games that aren't just releasing the same FIFA, Ridge Racer, Need for Speed, Call of Duty, Battlefield, year in, year out. They are pushing games.
You mentioned
game
Ridge
on
Racer.
New IPs. And game on media integration and the fact that it has now become easier on the next generation of consoles to share content with you lovely folk out there through services like Ustream and Twitch. Thank you, Sony. Thank you, Microsoft, for integrating these into your consoles so people like us can provide people like you with entertainment. Game on media integration.
So, but for every game on, there is a practice so vile, a niggle so frustrating, it makes us want to turn off. The opposite to gaming on.
Turn off the term indie. For fuck's sake, yes, we know there are indie
We've
developers making fantastic games for your consoles, but please, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, stop throwing the word indie around as if it's a genre. It's not. It's just people doing the stuff that you were too afraid to do, and it's paying off for them. Rock on, indies, but the term indie to describe a genre of games is a total turn off for me. Turn off the word roguelike. Yes, we are aware of the game Rogue. We are aware that there are some hard indie games that aren't treating us like children, like some AAA titles are. But please don't just throw the word around. It's not a marketing term, it's a genre. Turn off roguelike. Biggest turn off, arguably, now is next gen ports. Are you reselling me a game I bought 6 months ago under the justification that your console can't play my old games? You scrapped backwards compatibility to scrape another £50 out of my pocket for a game I've already played.
It's a practice which is purely there for profit.
Turn off next gen ports. Microtransactions as well, and expensive DLC. Do you really think I'm going to pay £10 for digital cars? You can go and fuck yourself. Expensive DLC too. Do you really think I'm paying £40 for Call of Duty maps when I've already paid £50 for your game? Shove them up your ass. I really don't care enough to shoot someone on a different coloured environment that I'm going to pay the price of.
Or using
a
different coloured gun to do
that. Exactly. Yeah, you can pay for the rights to a new skin. Go for it. I'd love to pay £10 for active camo on my guns. Off. Turn off expensive DLC and microtransactions. Oh, turn off Nintendo's online store. What are you thinking?
Well, don't turn it off literally.
Please do. Just make scrape it down and build it from the ground up. In this day and age where you can download things anywhere you want and on the go, why should I have to integrate with an online store that feels like it was built in fucking Microsoft Word? It's terrible. It feels like the web in 1999. All it is missing is an animated gif of Goku shooting a Kamehameha. Turn off Nintendo's online store.
Maybe people play these great games if they could find them.
Maybe they would. Maybe Steambot Dig wouldn't have had to go to the PC if you hadn't had terrible online stores on both your handheld and your console. Speaking of online practices that are absolutely abysmal, turn off Games for Gold. Seriously, you saw what PlayStation did and said, how can we completely fuck someone over while trying to give them a premium service? I know, we'll give them Gears of War.
Or Crackdown.
Or Crackdown. Or Assassin's Creed 2. Games that are £3 because nobody wants them because they're 7 years old and now they're not backwards compatible. It's like polishing a turd and throwing it at us. Admittedly, these are good games, but they're games we've already played. These are not games that have been missed because they're AAA titles for the most part that nobody has no interest of playing because they've been recycled year in, year out. Sort it out, Microsoft. Give us good games for our £40 a year. Turn off Games for Gold. My biggest frustration that can really turn off and fuck off and everything else. Day one patches. I remember a simple time, Thomas, where you could buy a game, buy a console, plug it into your computer, and it was good to go for the next 7 years. It didn't need a patch, so you could do the basic functionality of turning the console on without it freezing. Turn off day one patches. Get your shit together, developers and betrayers of console alike. I don't want to have to patch it. I want to just play it out of the box like the good old days.
Oh my God.
And just in case people think we are being a bit too fanboy towards Sony, turn off PlayStation Vita memory cards. Seriously, do you really think that I'm willing to pay £140 for a 64 gig memory card? Are you high? I can buy a solid state terabyte hard drive for that price. Why would I do it? Why are you monopolizing your memory cards? Why are you punishing us for buying downloadable games? Turn off PlayStation Vita memory cards. Just make them cheaper, Sony.
Are you finished? Have you got it all out your system
now,
Matt?
All out my system.
Do you feel better?
I'm good. I'm fine again.
I think our audiences are all now cowering in a corner somewhere.
I think they are. Come back. Don't be afraid.
He's really a nice guy.
I am. And
he's just very passionate about video games.
I am very passionate about video games. And if you are passionate about video games, why don't you give us a cheeky like on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom.
That was a nice link.
Follow on the old Twitter at TMAcast. You can give us a listen to this podcast and many more, the 33 episodes that have preceded this one, in Stitcher. You can listen to our website, which is tomandmattattack.com/podcast, or you can listen to our iTunes. While you're there, give us a rate and subscribe. Give us your feedback also. We really want to improve this going forward. We're approaching 2014, a new year of exciting games with some new exciting consoles.
Like the best consoles, we also want to innovate.
Exactly. We want to give you something new. Something you can wrap your teeth around and go.
But before we give you something new, we're going to talk about The Last Generation on the next podcast.
We are. We're going to wrap up 2013 with an exciting episode looking back at the best games that we think from the whole of
now,
the last
console
generation.
This is a whole generation, a generation that has spanned many, many years, longer than any generation before it.
It will also be a feature-length podcast like this, but it won't go on maybe as long. I think we will we'll boil it down to the core of what we think.
Yeah, we're going to have the last to be generation. Ruthless.
I think we will. I think maybe we will talk about each console in turn, maybe then talk about the games that are on all of them, and then boil those down. Maybe we'll see how it goes. We haven't thought of the formatting for yet, but you'll see it next week. Until then,
well, you'll hear it.
You will.
More accurately.
Well, actually, we could video ourselves like a pair of numpties with a video phone. It won't
but we're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that. No. Until then, dear listeners, game on.
Game on and don't turn off.
Thanks.